I never thought of myself as the teacher's pet. So you can imagine my surprise when Ms. Cooper called me forward to the front of the class. That particular day, not that other days weren't like this, but on that particular day, she had very little control of the dynamic in the room, and she was getting frustrated. So she called me forward, and Ms. Cooper put her arm around my shoulder and said, in words that I will never forget, and I'm horrified to this day, she said, "Why can't you all be perfect like Mark?" I had to overcompensate after that, and I had several detentions as a result, but she initially thought that I was some kind of angel, probably because my father was a clergyman, and she assumed any child in a clergyman's home was well-behaved. She didn't know the Episcopal clergy families very well. This notion of perfection obviously wasn't something that I strove for, and it felt as if I was being asked to compartmentalize and become an example for others. I wonder if you hear today's gospel in the same way, in that same manner. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It doesn't sound like an easy invitation to me. And maybe that is a piece of scripture that you carry with you that in your heart that makes you want to be better. Maybe it is that very challenge that makes you strive to be what, more faithful, more participating, more giving, more compassionate, more merciful, more forgiving. Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is another way to look at it, because not unlike my experience in seventh grade social studies class with Ms. Cooper, the prospect of living up to that standard makes me want to overcompensate. But the Greek word, interestingly, for perfect, I'm going to try to say it. I don't know if I'll get it right. It's teleioi. Teleioi is a Greek word that is most often translated perfect, but it has some other implications. This is kind of cute. It says, grow up even as your heavenly Father has grown up. How about that? Or mature. Come on, people, mature even as your heavenly Father is mature. I'm not sure I resonate with either of those, but the third and fourth one are interesting. Another angle on that same word is be complete even as your heavenly Father is complete. That's a deeper challenge for me, because I know I avoid some of the tricky things in my life, and I just go ahead and I'm on a track and think, well, it's working well enough. I don't need to be complete. But I really particularly like the fourth one. And the fourth translated version of teleioi is be created even as your Father, Heavenly Father, created you. Be created in that image which God created you. That leaves for me, if my seventh grade teacher put her arm around my shoulder and said, "He's really trying, y'all, can't you try too?" I would have been fine with that, because I know perfection eludes me. In fact, I think it eludes most people that I encounter. because we all have that fearful spot in our hearts and in our lives. We all have that denial, or we all have that, as I said before, that sort of pattern that seems to work well enough, even though there are consequences for not reaching out to the person that needs so much to hear from you. It may be just too hard. But be complete. That makes me feel like an unfinished version of myself. When Mitzi and I were married in this very space in 2009, one of the hymns we chose for our wedding was Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And there's that beautiful verse that verse 3 begins with the words, "Finish now thy new creation." Lord, I need help being finished now. As a married couple, we have plenty of work to do on completing that creation. I have plenty of work to do in my own heart, but it feels hopeful. It feels promising. It feels like God is on my side. The context for Jesus' words today to his disciples about loving your enemies and be perfect, or shall we say, be complete even as your heavenly Father is complete, it's in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, it includes in Matthew's Gospels those words that says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth." You know the ones I'm talking about. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." "Blessed are the peacemakers." "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake." In those words, in one context, I heard it defined as the summary of God's reckless love. He is so abandoned, he said he's giving away everything he has to those who are at the bottom rung, the hungry, the poor, the thirsty, the persecuted. God's reckless love, though, turns things upside down. Later in Matthew's gospel, he says it even more explicitly. He says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Turning it all upside down. That's the key to completion. To start seeing one's weakness as a strength. Maybe that's why he says, "Love your enemies." You know, anybody can love their neighbors or their family, but if you love your enemy, you are living into the image of God. You know, this same passage was used in the church I was serving in September of 2001. 5 days after 9/11. "Love your enemies." I will confess to you now, and I've never said this to any other congregation, I could not preach on that reading. It was just too hard. The pain was too deep. I was in Washington, D.C. the day that plane hit the Pentagon. In fact, we heard the airplane. We walked past the Pentagon and saw the ambulances and the fire and the gurneys with the people on it. It was too close. The congregation I was with were sad and a little irked that I did not give them some solace, but I had not yet found it for myself. This is just to say that those words of Jesus are not easy. To be complete, to, in the modern translation, to be perfect, I guess you could say, means that we have to give up some things that are hard, excuse me, that we have to give up the easy things in order to be completed, and they are hard to do. One of my favorite movies, no, it's not 50 Shades of Grey, I promise. In fact, Mitzi won't let me watch that. It's a Forrest Gump. And what I love about that movie is that it's about a man who has some very clear struggles in his life with polio and with some learning disabilities, but he is authentic. And the other thing I like about that story is this authentic human being, Forrest, encounters chapters of the history of our nation, contemporary chapters. He ends up on Bear Bryant's football team. He ends up in Vietnam. He ends up Elvis Presley in his mother's boarding house. He ends up seeing the AIDS crisis. He ends up with encountering the cultural influences of his lifetime, many of which you all have seen, if not in directly and intimately, certainly from afar. And in each case, he finds a piece of redemption. And maybe it's his openness to life. Maybe it's his trust in the goodness of life, or that life has something to offer, that it is a surprise, that he is eager to live fully. In fact, the famous line in that movie, of course, is, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." That's it. And when we don't know what we're going to get, it can be scary. It can make you want to hunker down and hide, or open your heart up to whatever it is that is in store. I believe the God who loves us, who created us, who calls us to live in His Spirit, is one who we learn to trust so that we can find that piece of redemption in whatever it is that life offers us. And it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means that there is redemption to be found, redemption to be claimed, redemption to be recognized, redemption that will, in fact, complete you, even as our Heavenly Father is complete. It may very well mean you need to make that phone call you've been putting off for months, decades. It may mean that you need to clean out that box that represents a point in your life that was difficult and challenging. It might mean that you need to get to that stack of books next to your bedside table that you've been meaning to get around to and punishing yourself for not doing. I'm preaching to the choir. I am the choir. Redemption is the theme of the chapter of your life. And in whatever that chapter means to you now, whatever significance it has for how you live your life, Christ yearns for you to seek out not that which is easy, but that which redeems, that which gives hope, that which completes. It will be hard, but it is exactly what God has prepared for each of us, for you and for me.